Welcome to the Financial Management Magazine podcast series, a service of the Association of International Certified Professional Accountants. This series features discussions with chartered global management accountants and other experts about the topics, trends and technologies that are transforming the accounting profession.
Brexit. It's an ever-changing, often polarizing event that's being followed closely in the United Kingdom. But it will have repercussions for companies, workers, and supply chains in the EU and around the world. Learn more about potential outcomes of Brexit in the latest Financial Management Magazine podcast. I'm Senior Editor Neil Amato. In this episode, External Affairs Content Manager Oliver Rowe speaks with Jeremy Hawkins, Senior European Economist with EconoDay. Here's their conversation on Brexit.
Welcome, Jeremy, to this FM podcast on Brexit. Thank you for joining us.
You're welcome.
Perhaps we could start with a non-economic question. What do you see as the most likely course of events in the next period?
Clearly, it is extremely difficult to say at this point in time, but I think it's reasonable to assume that as Mrs. May's Brexit bill currently stands, we're facing a bill which is unacceptable to the UK Parliament and a bill upon which the EU is unprepared to make any amendments. So it's very difficult to see it actually getting through. So I think we have to take the view that either we're going to see some kind of adjustment, be it through the Northern Irish backstop, and at the moment, of course, the EU are refusing to do that, or we're going to see something completely different, which essentially means possibly a hard Brexit, no Brexit at all, or something which actually delays the time when we're supposed to be leaving the European Union.
Do you see the UK leaving the European Union in March as scheduled?
There's clearly got to be a possibility at this stage, but the real question, I think, is going to be what sort of shape or form does the departure occur? I think, as we've already mentioned, it's hard to see this March the 29th date being met in the pure Brexit sense that the referendum voted for a couple of years ago. And I do think, in light of recent developments, the chances are that it's going to take a good deal longer to actually finalise whatever kind of shape the deal might ultimately take. So my own bet would be that we'll likely see some kind of extension to the Article 50 date of March the 29th, adding on another 6 months, perhaps even another year. That may not go down too well with the Brexiteers, but at least it provides a fresh opportunity of discussion and getting a solution. So I think, you know, it's still a big question mark at the moment, but the idea of a clean break with the EU on March the 29th, my own guess is probably not.
Economically, what would be the impact of Brexit on the UK?
I think we've already seen some of the impacts of potential Brexit on the UK during the course of the last year or so. It should be said, I think, at the outset, that by and large, the UK economy has actually stood up to all the Brexit uncertainty rather better than most people anticipated. Nonetheless, if we look at the hard data, the economy has grown just 0.1% on the month in October, having not shown any growth at all in either August or July. So really there has been a fairly sharp slowdown in the growth rates from the back end of last year in particular. Now, I think, again, in terms of the actual impact, it very much depends much upon the shape of the Brexit itself. If we were to get so-called soft Brexit, I suspect initially there could actually be some kind of relief bounce, if you like. I think we'll see perhaps at least a mini boost of business and consumer confidence, which would help business activity. However, if we were to see, worst case, and let's say no Brexit deal at all, I think we'd see a big hit to consumer confidence and business confidence. That would translate into weaker consumer spending and a further fall in business investment. Indeed, if we look at business investment, we've already had three consecutive quarters of declines, and that's the longest period of sustained contraction in investment that we've seen since 2008. So I think, again, the answer in a nutshell, I think whatever happens, we're probably going to see UK growth weaker than what it would have been if we had not had the Brexit issue in the first place, but a hard Brexit certainly could cause some major problems.
And in particular, what do you see as the impact on exports and supply chains?
Exports, of course, are very important to the UK. And we're talking about an economy in which exports are worth perhaps 30% or so of UK GDP. Now, within that, exports from the UK going into the European Union are about 45% or so. So in other words, exports from the UK to the European Union are worth round about 13 or 14% of total UK output. So anything which upsets that trade relationship necessarily, I think, has to be bad for UK exporters. Clearly, the reverse of that is the fact that we're going to see some negative news from the other side for the European Union as well. But we're clearly going to see a much harder period for exporters from the UK trying to get into European markets. And necessarily, I suppose, we will see some industries based here, you know, looking for alternative markets overseas. But the net impact has to be negative.
And supply chains?
Supply chains, of course, we live in an economy now which is very much a global economy, and what happens in one part of the world, you know, in some shape or form, almost certainly has negative impacts elsewhere. And that's going to be very much true of particular industries such as, you know, the auto industry, obviously, where we got parts toing and froing between the UK and continental Europe all the time. Supply chains will be hit and potentially hit quite badly. We've had the scare stories about no Brexit deal leading to, 6 months of delays at the major UK ports such as Dover and Folkestone. That may be an exaggeration. Clearly, at this stage, we simply don't know. But these supply chains are going to suffer, and it's hugely important that industry starts to anticipate this and start to look elsewhere.
You mentioned a couple of industries. Do you see any other industries being impacted heavily?
Personally speaking, I think one of particular importance is going to be the gin industry, because already there's talk of a juniper war due to the fact that a lot of the berries used to distill gin in the UK are imported. So that's certainly something to be worried about. Otherwise, of course, there's the likes of pharmaceuticals and chemicals, which in particular, again, this supply chain issue will be particularly important. We can go beyond that as well. I think you have to, you know, understand that what happens to one industry does not just affect that industry alone. It's not just supply chains between the UK and Europe, but what happens to, let's say, UK manufacturing will have an impact on UK services. So a lot of indirect effects taking place too.
And what would be the impact on management accountants?
Interesting one. I think that in the whole, we've got to say that the financial sector at large, it's going to be a very problematic time. Clearly, for the likes of the banking industry, we don't know what's happened to EU passports and the like. So there's still so much part of the, you know, negotiations about the future outlook to talk about. For accountancy, of course, well, there's going to be potentially a number of companies over here who currently can operate quite freely in the European Union, having to renegotiate new trade processes, protocols, whatever it may be. And so demand for accountancy may well actually go up as a result.
Thank you. And Bank of England Governor Mark Carney recently gave warnings about the consequences of a no-deal Brexit. Do you think he was right?
I think it's important that for a central bank to issue some kind of guidance about what could happen in the event of something like a Brexit. It's simply too big a deal that, you know, for the bank to hide itself in a drawer. I think, looking at some of the numbers, we have to hope that the, you know, the worst case scenario that the bank talked about, and within this we're talking about the level of UK output being, what, about 10% or so below where it might have been in the non-hard deal case. Unemployment doubling, inflation going up to about 6.5%. I think they suggested bank rate could go as high as 7.5%, and house prices fall by a best part of a third. So that really would be one of the worst recessions we've ever experienced in terms of the UK. However, I think from a market perspective, there was a lot of investors looking back to a couple of years ago when we had the EU referendum vote, and it was a surprise no vote. And the bank at that time issued a forecast that the UK economy would fall into recession. That didn't happen. And indeed, the fourth quarter of 2016 was one of the best periods for UK economic growth we've actually seen for some while. So I think it's useful, as the bank is keen to point out, that these are simulations and not forecasts. So provide some kind of idea about what might happen. But certainly I'd be a little bit surprised and certainly very worried if the bank's forecast on the no deal basis were to be realised.
And what would be the impact of Brexit for the rest of Europe?
The rest of Europe, of course, the UK is a very important component of the European Union in the sense that, well, the bottom line is we're the second largest member of the Union itself. So to lose the second largest member is going to be both a hit to, you know, the general GDP of the European Union, its economic clout, but also potentially its political clout as well. because as a trading bloc, the EU will simply be no longer as big as it was. And of course, at the end of the day, too, if it is the case that we do see some loss of potential output for the Union and for the UK as well, that's going to have implications for global demand, which will hit, you know, world GDP and world trade as well. So again, at the end of the day, it's going to be at least somewhat negative, not just for the UK, but for the global economy as a whole.
And are there any other impacts for the rest of the world, do you see?
I think if you're looking for potential positives, I think you can say that if financial markets and investors at the end of the day don't like whatever the Brexit final deal or no deal turns out to be, it could well be the case that some of the potential capital investment coming into the UK or going into the rest of the European Union could be diverted elsewhere. So perhaps it could actually give some kind of, you know, fresh kick to the likes of the Chinese economy or perhaps even India.
And as you said at the beginning, Jeremy, there's still a lot to unfold in the next period. Any other final thoughts or takeaways for today?
I think it's not particularly helpful, I'm sure, to your listeners to say that, you know, it's just all about uncertainty at the moment, but that is certainly very much the issue. And I think one of the key things to remember at the moment as we talk about this Brexit withdrawal bill, here we're talking about the shape of the withdrawal bill. What we don't really know is what's going to happen to the future trading relationship with the European Union. And we have this political proclamation or declaration, I should say, announced the other day. But that is a very skinny document which really just outlines a few vague designs about what could possibly happen in the future. In terms of, let's say, our trading relationship with the European Union, let's say 3 years hence, we really don't know.
Thank you very much indeed, Jeremy.
Again, that was Oliver Rowe with EconoDay's Jeremy Hawkins. For more management accounting news, visit fm-magazine.com. Thank you for listening.
This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered and does not represent an official opinion or position of the Association of International Certified Professional Accountants or any of its subsidiaries or affiliates. It is provided with the understanding that the association, its affiliates, and subsidiaries are not engaged in rendering legal, accounting, or other professional services. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. The association, its subsidiaries, and affiliates make no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to and assume no responsibility for the content or application of the material contained herein, and expressly disclaim all liability for such damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.